Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything in between. It's the Rudin Report, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rudin Report, live. I'm Dave Rudin. We're going to get right into things. It's nice to finally have some good weather and get some games in this week and start getting a little bit of a read on what's going on in the FCX sports world. We've got an athlete-heavy show today. Coming up later, the one coach we're going to have, Trumbull baseball coach Phil Pacelli. And then I got three elite athletes. Everybody, the one comment I get on the show is how good the athletes are. And they're not saying it as a surprise, but as a statement. And I said, no surprise here that I get to be with them all the time. We've got Josh Marcus of the Staples lacrosse team, and we've got Hope Papgood of the Darien girls lacrosse team. And leading off right now, and she had an unbelievable performance. She's one of the top pitchers in the FCAC, and that's Fairfield Ward's Emily Dowd. Emily, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing okay. Probably not as good as you. Probably the first big FCAC pitching matchup of the season yesterday. And you guys went up against Norwalk, a 3-1 win. And you pitched a four-hitter, struck out 16. And probably the stat I'm sure you're probably really happy about, too, just three walks. Talk a little bit about yesterday's game.
Yeah, so we knew Norwalk was a strong team. I mean, we played them every year, and it's always a really close game. And we know Maddie, I play for my travel team, so our team knew that it was going to be a tough matchup on both of the offensive sides. So I knew I just had to throw my game and that my offense would have my back, and we did. I mean, McKenna Sherry, a sophomore in our team, hit a two-run home run with two outs, so that was really big for us because that like just kept our momentum going and gave me a lot of confidence on the mound.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you play with in the summer with Maddie Collins of Norwalk. There are so many FCAC players on different teams that are teammates in the summer. Is that kind of – what's the dynamic like when you're pitching against somebody that you play with in the non-high school season?
Yeah, so it's definitely makes things interesting because, again, we practice with them all winter. So, like, we knew what Maddie was going to throw to us, but it's hard to go up against somebody that you know and that you're friends with. And on my end, it's hard to, like, pitch to those people. So it's hard to pitch to my teammates because I know they're all really strong softball players.
I wrote about you 2 weeks ago. I'm sure a lot of readers saw the story, and we'll get back into all the injuries that you've gone through. We talked, and in the story, it was early in the season, and you were just starting to get your groove. I know you were, you're saying that just early season, you were trying to get your rhythm going and get control. You know, yesterday to strike out 16 and to start walking, I mean, to only walk three batters, I'm guessing you're starting to get that rhythm and that groove now and feel like you have better command on your pitches.
Yeah, definitely. I've been working on, like, trusting my defense, and I know that they'll have my back, so I've just been pounding the zone a little bit more. And I think that as the season moves forward, it's getting a lot easier because I just, as you said, I had to get back into the groove of things after being out for so long.
Let's talk just a little bit about the injuries, and I'll let you recap because you've unfortunately had an injury-riddled career that's really affected you most in basketball season. But why don't you tell everybody just a little bit about your injury history during your Ward years?
Yeah, so started sophomore year in January. I dislocated my knee for the first time. Well, it took me out of, like, the end of my basketball season, but I was able to reboot for my softball season, which was good. But then a few weeks into my softball season, I tore a ligament in my thumb, so I had to get thumb surgery. So I was out for the majority of my softball high school season. I got to pitch, like, a few games at the end of the season, but that was it. And then summer-ish, going to my junior, I dislocated my knee again. and I had to make the decision to not play basketball so that I would be ready for softball. So I got to play all of my junior softball season, which was great. But then this fall, I did it for a third time and then ended up having to get surgery on my knees to fix it and tighten that ligament so that it wouldn't be a problem moving forward. So that took me out of my senior basketball season, but I was able to be back for softball.
How hard? And I remember before the team's last game, the basketball team's last game, when you lost in the state semifinals to Greenwich, I remember talking before the game to you and to Ryan Golbin, and you look, the team didn't have you, and you're such a good all-around player. You can hit the three-point shot. You can score inside. And then Ryan, who was the FSAC player of the year, you lose her at the end of the season. Was it frustrating? If they have both of you, if the team has both of you, I think you win the FSAC championship and you definitely have a good chance to win the state title. Was it frustrating?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, me and Ryan, we've grown up together. We're neighbors. We've been best friends our whole life. So we're looking forward to the season because we knew how strong we could be with both of our shots. And Danko, I mean, he's been talking about like this group of girls and this team for so long because he knew that we had what it takes to go that far and even almost like win the FSAC and win a possible state championship. So it was definitely hard, but we were so proud of our team and how far that they did go without the support of Ryan and I.
Talk a little bit about, I always say this, when you talk about college and professional sports, everybody says quarterback's the most difficult position to play in football and also the one that impacts the game most, and I agree with that. I think on the high school level, softball pitcher it probably is on top of football quarterback. Just the dynamic. If you don't have a good pitcher, you're not winning. So as a pitcher on the team, is that kind of added pressure, or is it something you've been doing so long that you're just used to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, softball, you can pitch every single game as many pitches as you want, and it just kind of brings a different aspect to the game because if you have a good pitcher, you know the team is going to be good, and in the FSAC, there's so many good pitchers that we know every team is strong, but as for the pressure part, it's definitely hard because you know the game relies in your hands because you're the one throwing every pitch and you're the one controlling the game. But on the other side of things, if you have a really strong offense, then that settles things out a little bit because then it takes so much of that pressure off and you could just pitch with confidence knowing that your defense will make plays and that you'll get the runs back.
How about this Ward team? I think yesterday, if people didn't believe you're a contender, yesterday proved otherwise. And you look at the league, and so many teams have a strong number one pitcher. You look at St. Joseph at Trumbull, Darien and New Canaan this year. So a lot of good pitchers that you're going to go up against. What's it like for you individually to face all these pitchers? And what about what you think the team can do?
I definitely have really high hopes for our team this year. We have some strong bats. We have one of my good friends, Griffin Palladino, who's going to Quinnipiac next year. He's one of our really good hitters. Sadie Strouser, McKenna Sherry, as I said. We have a lot of good underclassmen. We have a freshman, Martina, who's doing really well. And I think it's just going into each game with a plan, stepping into the box. That's our big thing this year, like hunting your pitch and finding that pitch and driving that pitch. And we've been doing that really well. We faced St. Joe's, we faced Katie, and that was a tough game for us because that was like one of the first really, really strong pitchers we saw after Massac, obviously, but in the FSAC. And we're facing Trumbull tomorrow. So I think we're going to take what we learned versus Norwalk because Maddie and Maddie are really similar pitchers. So we're going to use that tomorrow and hopefully pull out another FSAC win.
I forgot you went against St. Joe's. You've already faced two of the elite pitchers, and you got another one tomorrow. What about you're going to go pitch at Middlebury next year? What led you to pick that school?
I really wanted a school that would fit for me both academically and athletically. And Middlebury happened to reach out after coming to some of our summer games. And I went up and saw the school, and I just fell in love with it. And I really liked the idea that at Middlebury I'd be able to both pitch and play middle infield, because that's something that, although in high school I don't get to do that much, but in my on my travel team, I love to play second base and shortstop. So that was something that I really wanted in college, to not just be a pitcher and be able to be a versatile player.
Well, Emily, I'm happy you're healthy, and I hope all the injuries are in the rearview mirror, and you've always been a class act. You're off to a great start, and I wish you and the Mustangs the best of luck the rest of the season, and thanks for taking a little bit of time here to join me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, that was Emily Dowd of the Fairfield softball team. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go to girls lacrosse and Darianne and Hope Hapgood. You're listening to the Rood Report live on WICC.
Coaches' interviews, game previews, and everything in between. The Rooden Report is live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and let's change sports a little bit. Emily Dowd was not the only female athlete to have an outstanding performance yesterday. The Darianne girls lacrosse team played Manhasset, always a tough out-of-state game. And the Blue Wave came away with a 14-9 win. And one reason, 6 goals from Hope Hapgood, a career high. And she joins me right now. Hope, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thanks for coming on here. So 6 goals. Talk a little bit about the game yesterday.
I think it was a really great game for us. It was a team that we obviously had to be in order to be successful with the rest of our season. I think we're taking each game by game, just to make sure that we have everything down. We've had a really intense past couple of practices, working through all of our plays and our defense. And I think our defense and our attack did exactly what we needed to do to be successful. And I'm really proud of the team. I think we all worked really well together.
When you score 6 goals in a game, is it a combination? You see something where you could be a little bit more aggressive going to net. Obviously, in lacrosse, if your teammates don't put you in a good position to score, you're unable to do that. What was the key yesterday for your own individual success?
Well, one thing about lacrosse is that any success, especially on offense, comes from the team. And I think we did a really good job working through our plays, and we did a good job breaking down the defense. And I got pretty lucky with a couple of openings. I had a ton of great attackers by my side, like Annabelle Adams, Anna Von Kennel, Cameron Picorni, great assisters, always great teammates. And I think they really helped our offense find success yesterday.
To those who aren't really familiar with lacrosse, it's the one sport, just because FCAC lacrosse is the best played sport in the league. Turn on the TV yesterday and today and watch a big college game, and you're going to see several FCAC athletes. Because of that, the FCAC teams are allowed to play out-of-state games, and elite programs like Darianne, they're going to schedule 5-6 games against powers in the, not only in the tri-state area, but even Darianne a lot of times will play teams from Maryland. What's it like when you go up against these kind of programs? You played the number one team in the state, San Anthony's, earlier in the week. What's it like, and how much does it help you get ready for the postseason?
I love playing out-of-state teams. I think, obviously, the FCAC is a great competition, but it's really fun. I think we really get to challenge ourselves playing out-of-state teams, especially a great team like St. Anthony's. They were very tough, very aggressive, had great defense, great offense. It's really fun just playing a really great team and seeing that matchup. I think it was a little bit of a bummer that we didn't win, but I think we played really well, and I think it proved that we can hold our own against majority of teams, and I think that really helped prep us for the rest of the season and hopefully the postseason. But we do take our games kind of one game at a time, just making sure we're focusing on the little things, but I think that's going to help us get a lot of success in the postseason.
You played even with St. Anthony's the first half. They're able to pull away in the second half, but it was certainly a competitive game. You guys are off to a 5-1 start, and this was a Darien team, I think, that people weren't quite certain about because you always graduate so many good players over the years. But this team, maybe more so than recent ones, has had a lot of turnover and a lot of new players and players that have needed to step up into bigger roles. What have you seen as the keys to the 5-1 start?
I agree. We graduated a lot of great, very talented players. So we definitely needed a ton of people this year to step up. I think one thing that's helped us get success with these new players is the fact that our team is just so close. We have great chemistry, especially within the senior class. I think we're all very close, and all classes together, we're super close, and the chemistry's really helped us. But I think a ton of people have stepped up where they need to step up. Our defense is very solid, and I think our attack just keeps getting better and better, and I think it's really going to help us find success with the rest of the season.
Is it, when you have a team like this, as one of the leaders on the team, is it certain, a different kind of dynamic where I'll talk a little just about the leadership you feel you need to provide, as opposed maybe you've played on teams your first 3 years that have been a little bit more experienced.
I think my first 3 years, the team had very strong players who had been starting and playing for years, and I think they all knew their roles. This year, I think the leadership is very key in everyone finding their roles. Definitely like communicating with people, making sure they know what's happening. We have a lot of young players seeing the field who don't know the dynamic as well. I think just pulling them aside, making sure they know the plays, making sure they know the game plan, everything like that. Leadership tends to be very important, and we can see that in practices and in games too. My co-captains, Sophie and Annabelle, I think do a great job too. And it's nice that we have a defensive, offensive, and midi captain. I think we have representation all over the field, and it helps get us a lot of success with, especially the new girls.
What about the rivalry? It's Darien, New Canaan, New Canaan, Darien. The last 4 or 5 FCAC and state championship games have been between your two teams. They've gotten the best of you 2 of the last 3 years. In 2023, you swept both. New Canaan, obviously a huge, huge loss with Maddie Tully, their top scorer, who got injured, unfortunately, tore her ACL a couple of days before the start of the season. What about, you guys know each other so well, and you guys play together in the summer. How do you see the rivalry for this year?
I think New Canaan's always such a fun team to play. Just the rivalry, it gets so intense, and it really makes you love the sport. It's really unfortunate about Maddie. I think she's a great player and she's a great part of their team. But we've played New Canaan so many times, and I play with a ton of them in the summer. And I know that they have a ton of great players, like Emma Rose, Sydney Patton, CeCe Patterson. They're all great. I think it's definitely going to be a good competition. It's always a good game with Darien and New Canaan, and I hope to see them in the States and FCX.
You're also an elite field hockey player, and your first 3 years, Darien swept the FCAC and state championships, and this year Staples beat you in both finals. Is there a little urgency? You've been spoiled a little bit with all the championship medallions you have hanging in your bedroom. What about this? You don't want to go your final year without getting one or two more to hang up?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think Darien field hockey and lacrosse is very lucky that we get to make it to the championships pretty often. Whether it's first or second place, I think it's a great accomplishment. And I think that just goes to show what a talented team we are, how sometimes it can be a bummer even getting second place because we're all so hungry to get first place. Really hoping we make it to the championships. And I think based on the way their season's going, I think we can find success.
How come these two programs have had such long-standing success? Is it one of those things when you're growing up, you aspire to play for the high school teams? And I know Darien youth programs are solid across the board. Is that something where you kind of look up to play for the team? And how big is the feeder systems for the high school?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All throughout my youth field hockey and lacrosse career, I've always looked up to the girls playing on the varsity teams. I've always thought it was so cool. Them playing on the stadium against all these big teams, going to championships. And I've always wanted to be like them.
And I'm so grateful to be a part of both those teams. And I also think Darien just has such an athletic, competitive environment. Everybody is really striving to be the best. And because of that, we have such a great, such depth on majority of the teams in our town. And I think that's just really helped us have a longstanding career of being such a successful team.
Okay, I want this to come from a player. I talk about it all the time, but your coach, Lisa Lindley, take the most intense person you know of and then go up a level, and that's Lisa. And I think if for people who only know Lisa, that they saw her on the sideline for a game and know nothing else about her, people think, you know, this is a wild woman. And obviously you and everybody that plays for Darien and for the Grizzly program get to see the other side of her. Just talk a little bit from a player's perspective what it's like playing for Lisa.
I love playing for Lisa. I think a lot of people think she's scary, but I think she just has our best interests at heart. She's a great coach and always knows what she's talking about. She can get intense sometimes, but I think that's how you want your coach to be. I love playing for her. And one thing I owe to her is she's helped me fix my shot so much. And she's very in on helping people correct certain things. And I think that's what makes her such a great coach.
I always say the thing I love about her is that she's such a good guide for getting high school players, not just to college, but to the right school. If you play Grizzlies and Lisa's so well connected and she's a brutally honest person, she tells it like it is in everything. And I think it's great that, you know, somebody that might aspire to play for a very top program, and Lisa will be honest and say, you know, if you go there, you're going to probably be sitting on the bench, and will suggest going to another program where somebody will play. You had so many options, and you picked a great program and a great academic school in Dartmouth. Just talk a little bit about what Lisa does for you guys in terms of the recruiting process.
Yeah, Lisa was super helpful in the recruiting process all summer, going to camps, going to showcases, going to tournaments. She would let coaches know we were there and that we had interest in those schools. And I definitely was talking with her a lot about the certain schools that I really liked over the summer. I think she was very helpful in communicating that to the other coaches and letting them know.
Well, hope you're coming up on the final steps of what's been a great career at Darien. And 6 goals yesterday, and I know you have many more on your stick between now and the end of the season. So congratulations on not just yesterday, but a great 3-plus years. And best of luck to you. I think I'm going to pop over, see you guys play Wilton on Thursday. Wilton's undefeated right now. So I owe you a T-shirt for coming on here. I'll bring that with me. And thanks again. Best of luck. And I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was Hope Hopgood. We're going to take a break, and we're going to stay on lacrosse, but we're going to go to the boys and one of the top players in the nation, Staples goaltender Josh Marcus. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Back to the action. Back to the action. The Rudin Report live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and I talked a couple of minutes ago about how lacrosse is the best played sport in the FCAC. A couple of weeks ago, we had CeCe Patterson from New Canaan, one of the top female goaltenders in the country, and now we have one of the top male goaltenders. You're going to be seeing him a lot playing for North Carolina the next 4 years, but right now he's finishing an outstanding career in Staples, and that's Josh Marcus. Josh, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Nah, thanks for coming on. What's it been like? You've been there during the time where Staples went from a very good program to now one of the elite programs on the par with the Darians and the New Canaans. And you guys got to win a few FCAC. You won your first FCAC title and you won back-to-back state titles. What's been the difference in terms of taking the program up that over that final hurdle to get to where you are today?
I think it started with those seniors my freshman year, like Charlie Howard, Ryan Thompson, Gabe Chinitz, Nick Augieri, all those guys. They sort of changed the directory of the program. Obviously, Coach K as well, but those seniors like helped embrace Coach K's culture because they had him all 4 years. It was like his first full 4-year group, I believe. So they helped change the culture completely and embrace what Coach K was really preaching. And now all of us kind of have just brought it through as we've gone through. And now us seniors and the seniors from last year have just kept it going. So I think the culture change has been a huge, huge part of that.
Before we kind of get to what's been going on this year, your background, number one, your father, John, played at Johns Hopkins and is still one of the, I think he's in the top 10 for career saves on the college level. What, just talk about, and your father's coached with the team. What's it like as a goalie when you've got a father who was such an outstanding player at the position?
It's super special. Pretty much everything I've learned, even just about lacrosse in general, has come from him. And just all that we've spent so much time together working on my game and trying to get it to be as best as it could possibly be. And just all of his knowledge has just created me into the player I am. And there's really nothing that I think is like it, like the bond that we have and that we've created through lacrosse. And just knowing how he had success at such a high level is what really like helps me trust him and makes me feel so good about everything he teaches me.
Did you always know when you first started playing you wanted to be a goaltender?
No, I started off as an attackman, actually. Up until about, like, I think fifth grade is when I started hopping in cage a little bit, but sixth grade is when I really took it seriously and started to do, like, sessions with my dad, like, pretty much once a weekend when we just started, and then eventually obviously got a little more serious. But yeah, I was an attackman until sixth grade pretty much. And I would split halves with someone else. And the second half I would play attack, you know, try to score some goals. Didn't always go that way though.
I know one of the other things you've talked about in the past that helped your development was coming out of COVID in 2020. And once people could be around each other, you had some of the top Staples players who took turns shooting on you, and you've always said that's something that helped with your development as well.
Yeah, that was probably the most important thing to my development. I would go to the field and shoot with like some of those names I was talking about earlier, like Charlie Howard, Ryan Thompson, and then like Tyler Clark, and also Evan Zinn, who played at Hopkins in Virginia. And that was really special to be able to like share that time with him. And he shot so fast. So as a young kid, it was pretty scary. Yeah. But then after a couple sessions, it was kind of just like routine at that point, where I was just like getting shot on, and whether it was going in or not, I wasn't really scared of it anymore. And then eventually I sort of kept getting used to it more and more. And that sort of helped my development more than anything. And my dad was always there to give me tips, like if I did something wrong and he noticed it, he would point it out, and then we'd fix it. And I also had goalies like Timmy Luciano, Will Heisler, and Scott Kozakowski, who are all older than me and went through Staples, and Ben Howard as well, that would just be there with me to give me tips as well.
What about the team this year? I was at your game Wednesday when you played Ridgefield, which was your second big FCAC game, and I know you guys were disappointed. You fell behind Greenwich the week before 6-0 and lost to them 7-5. And you came against an undefeated Ridgefield team and a real impressive victory. They started, you took a 10-3 lead and they scored three late goals to get within 10-6 for the final. What about the way the team played?
Yeah. After that Greenwich game, obviously we knew something needed to change. Greenwich is obviously a great team, great program. They have great players. But obviously we wanted to win that game, as any team would want to win a game when they're playing it. But, yeah, that was sort of an early wake-up call. And I think ultimately that was one of the best things that could have happened to us, because even in practice the next day, there was just a switch that was completely flipped, and we had just been playing so much harder, and we realized we need to come together as a team more and be more one as one person, obviously not one person, but one unit playing together and just everything coming together. And then so practice went well, and then we just played with more urgency and then got it done versus Richfield.
Goaltenders sometimes get overlooked when your team has a good offensive performance. And I think if you ask the general fan about the Ridgefield game, they're going to talk about Hunter Pelley and a sophomore who had 3 goals and an assist. And they're going to talk about Adam Udell, who had a behind-the-back goal at halftime and then scored less than a minute into the second half. And that really gave you guys the distance you needed. But that Ridgefield had several chances to get back into the game in the second quarter, and you had 6 saves. Just talk about your play that day and your play so far this season.
Yeah, the defense has been great. They've been letting up shots from far away, which makes it easier on me. You know, they're not really letting in anything close. Which has just made it super easy on me. I'm just doing my job, just picking up the garbage kind of, and you know, they're all just balling out for me and for the offense, getting the offense the chances that they used to score last game versus Richfield, or 2 games ago versus Richfield. Yeah. So yeah, just all those players like Bear Swearingen, Nate Murillo, and Jack Kinesich and Shane Sandrew, and then freshman now Finn Edwards, who's stepping up a bunch. Yeah, they're just not really giving up hard shots, so it's making it super easy on me.
Talk a little bit about how important the defense is, because I don't know, even the casual lacrosse fan may not be aware of it, but you know, you just referred to the distance shots are coming at you from, and what a difference that makes in terms of seeing shots and being able to make a save. But how does a really good defense make it easier for a goaltender?
Yeah, just by not giving up shots closer than 11, 12 yards, maybe one or two a game, and then hopefully I'll steal one or two of those close shots. But otherwise, yeah, just shots outside of 12 yards when on the run, typically those are like the shots that I like to see, and that our defense has been giving up this year, which is good.
You decided to go to North Carolina. You could have written your ticket anywhere you wanted to go. What made you choose becoming a Tar Heel?
I think the winning culture that they've built over their entire history of being a program is definitely one of the leading factors, because my goal since being a young kid has always been to win a national championship, and no matter what it takes, that's kind of what it was for me. And then the most important thing is definitely Coach Dave Petromala, who's the defensive coordinator now. He was my dad's defensive coordinator at Hopkins, and they just have such a close relationship, special relationship, and I've kind of known him since I was a young kid, and I've always looked up to him and his kids who now play at North Carolina, Don Petromala and Nick Petromala. And I've just always wanted to play under Coach Petromala. Even when he was still a head coach at Hopkins, that had been where I wanted to go at the time. But he moved on from there and now is a coach at North Carolina. So that was just to be able to share the coach that my dad had that made my dad into the man he is today is kind of like the most special thing that could ever happen to me, to be honest.
I asked Cece this question when she was on a couple of weeks ago, but lacrosse is one of the sports where you really get national rankings. It's a lot easier to do. And different services that I looked up have you rated anywhere from first to third in the country. When you read that you're the best player or one of the best players nationally at your position, what does that mean to you?
It's special. It just shows me that all the hard work that I've put in over the years has paid off. I try to not pay too much attention to it, but obviously you got to look at it and you definitely pay attention to it. But I try to not think about it too much, you know, just kind of play and do my thing, and then all everything else will fall in place.
Well, we're going to do a story together soon because I didn't even have enough time here to talk to you about being an All-State punter as well with the football team. We'll save that for the story on the Rudin Report. But you've always been a class act and a lot of fun to cover, and I'm glad I'm going to get to see you for a few more weeks. So congratulations on everything you've accomplished. Best of luck the rest of this year to you and Staples, and thanks for taking a few minutes here, Josh, for joining me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Okay, that was Staples' Josh Marcus. We're going to take a break. We haven't talked any baseball yet. We're going to with Trumbull coach Phil Pacelli. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Get the rundown on this week's games now on the Rudin Report live. WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to finish up with a little baseball talk. And joining me right now, one of the top coaches in the state, one of the top programs in the state, and a contender this year for our FCAC and CIAC titles, and that's Trumbull's Phil Pacelli. Phil, how you doing?
Morning, Dave. Thanks for having me. Happy Easter to everyone, and congratulations on your expansion of the Rudin Report.
Ah, thanks. I appreciate it. 3-2 right now. I guess we could say one of the best 3-2 teams that we've seen. Your losses were by a run to two top 10 teams outside the FCAC. I'm sure you're happy with the start. I'm sure you'd like to be 5-0, but for the most part, I'm sure you're happy with the way the teams look so far.
Yeah, I'm five games in, 3 wins, 2 losses. We started off with 2 shutout wins at Massac and then the game against Ward. And then, like you said, 2 tough 1-run losses, 1 to Amity. And, you know, we were up 4-1 in the 6th against Prep and had a little bit of a meltdown in 1 inning in the 6th there. And that Prep lineup, man, can't give those guys extra outs as they make you pay for that.
When you lose games like that early in the season, I'm sure as a coach, those are what you call teaching lessons and something you can work with the team. And obviously you schedule that those kind of opponents to have the team ready for the rest of the season and, more importantly, for the postseason.
Definitely. Those games prepare us for the FCS schedule. And like you said, definitely learn from those games and just try to move forward.
Pitching's been a strength for you so far. You beat Andrew Valentino with you run ruled Ward. Ward's first game of the year, 10-0, and you've got Trevor Schulke who helped you win a kind of came out of nowhere for people outside of Trumbull, and became one of the top pitchers last year. What about the strength of the pitching? I know you have a lot of depth, even though those two guys have started your game so far.
We do. We haven't had a 3-game week yet. So, you know, we have the luxury of rolling out, you know, guys like Schulke, Jack Larkin, Andrew Valentino. That's a luxury that most teams don't have. So, yes, our strength is our pitching. And, you know, we only return 3 position players. Well, 4 if you count Ryan Johnson, who's unfortunately injured. But Ryan Payne at shortstop, Garrett Wood behind the plate, and Andrew Valentino at second. And the rest of the lineup, really proud of these 4 seniors that kind of were mostly reserves for us last year. James Delaney at first base has had a lot of clutch hits for us so far. Danny Vidal, who plays second when Andrew pitches and also plays left field. Ben Parenti took over in center field and has made some really incredible catches so far and is also chipping in with the bat. And Jack Shannon is working his way into some DH time.
And one thing that you're lucky with in Trumbull is you don't rebuild, you get to reload, and you lost a lot of players, but you've had a lot of good players that have come up and so far are doing a job. Is it part of the youth program that Trumbull Baseball has?
Definitely. And, you know, we do have a lot of depth, like you said. So these guys last year that I just mentioned, they just kind of had to wait their turn. And they did so with no complaints. And now they're getting their opportunities, and it's nice to see them contribute.
Is there anything, you know, obviously you lost leads in your two losses. Anything that you feel that you need to work on as you start making your way through the league portion of the schedule?
I like the way we're swinging the bats. Really just, I guess, we just had the one bad inning against against Prep there where, you know, maybe increase the concentration levels in those certain situations when you hit some adversity, I guess. But other than that, very pleased with the pitching. And, you know, we feel like we get to four or five runs on the scoreboard, you know, we're gonna be very tough to beat.
Talk a little bit about Trevor and what did you know last year? Obviously, players are going to emerge that to us in the media we're a little bit surprised about because we don't know anything about them. But obviously, coaches and people in the towns are going to know about because they've built up a resume, getting themselves up there. But did you expect Trevor to have the kind of impact that he had last year?
No, not really. We got him out there early in the scrimmage, and you know, he really wowed us. And then he just hung zeros all season, really. Yeah, he had the tough first game at Danbury and lost that game, but he also beat Amity last year, and you know, in the FCAC tournament, he won the first game and the championship, obviously.
And I'm not sure people knew too much, a lot about Andrew as a pitcher, but he really did a great job in the first ward game to shut them out.
Yes, Andrew is, you know, he's a hard thrower, throws strikes, has nice curveball, and he mixes it up really good to throw off the opposing lineup.
You get to play
swing the bat too.
You play at Ward tomorrow in the conference game. I'm guessing by looking at your box score that you're going to throw Andrew again?
It's going to be Jack Larkin tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. What's the reason for the decision?
Well, Andrew, you pitched into the fifth inning. He threw five innings against Prep the other day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was 80-something pitches, so we just wanted to give him an extra day or two until his next start.
I don't think people realize how much coaches, how they set up their pitching for the rest of the season. You know, the average person would say, okay, well, they're going to go Trevor Andrew, as much as you can and do things differently in a three-game week. But you coaches look at pitching a little bit differently in terms of not wanting to overthrow your kids early or even during the regular season, and then trying to set everything up so you've got a read on your staff, how they've done in big games, and have everything set up for the FCAC and state tournaments.
Exactly. Like, so for example, like I said earlier, we haven't had a three-game week yet. So our most experienced pitcher is Jack Larkin. And he's pitched big games for us, and he's ready to go tomorrow. And we wanted to have him available out of the bullpen multiple days in the first couple weeks as our most experienced pitcher with those tough outs at the end of the game on the line.
And he gets to go up his first start against maybe the top offensive team. They weren't against you the first time, but they've been hammering the ball since, and they did so yesterday in a win against Amity.
Right. So we know they're... You know, we know it's not going to be 10-0 tomorrow. You know, they're swinging the bats much better of late, and it's going to be a tough game for us tomorrow.
You've got to like the league is, and the league's always tough, and there's a lot of good pitching, but you've got to feel like with the talent you have on your team, there's no reason why, if they perform up to their capabilities, why you can't repeat as FCAC champions and maybe make a run at a state title?
Hopefully. We also have three sophomores in the lineup, Andrew being one, and Braden Jago has taken over at third base for Ryan Johnston. And in right field, we have Ryan Leonzi, whose brother played for us several years back. His name's Ray. But he's also a lefty, just like his brother. And it's scary how much they play so much alike.
Well, Phil, you've done a great job there with Trumbull and always a class act, always accommodating to the media, which we appreciate. And I appreciate you taking the time here this morning and wish you and the team the best of success the rest of the year.
Dave, thanks a lot. See you soon, and I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks.
Okay, that was Trumbull's Phil Pacelli. Great show today. As I said, we get terrific athletes on, and I want to thank Hope Hopgood, Emily Dowd, and Josh Marcus. We got a good week of games, good baseball. Trumbull Ward tomorrow and Staples Norwalk Wednesday. And we'll be back next Sunday to talk about it on the Rooten Report Live. Have a good week, everyone.